This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's start with your Nats notes. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, should let you know we've got a pair of tickets to see the Nats take on the Marlins on August 29th tomorrow for Bryce Harper Day. We'll be giving them away at the end of this segment. We're also going to be taping the DC Quick Pitch right after the show today. So as of about 3:30, a brand new DC Quick Pitch will be available for Nats fans as they get ready to go to the ballpark. They will be seeing Max Scherzer pitch off the DL and Jason Wirth patrol left field. He is expected to be activated today as well. Jason Wirth, who's going to be out for a couple of days with a foot problem, who's been out for a few months.
June the 3rd. Important date in Nationals history because that's the last time Jason Wirth played a game, a lifetime ago. Seven different outfielders ago. Andrew Stevenson ago. Brian Goodwin, healthy, playing. Now he's injured ago. So much has changed since then. Adam Lind is patrolled left field. They put Wilmer Defoe in center since then, which was a glaring mistake that gets under-talked about. Just a complete and utter miscalculation of how long this thing was going to take. I just hope he's healthy. I hope that he's healthy and it gets into the swing of things and gives himself a couple weeks to be Jason Wirth, the guy that's going to see a ton of pitches, be a pain in the butt at the top of the lineup, and occasionally knock one into a gap somewhere. I need him to be him come postseason time. Frankly, he hasn't been very good in the postseason for the Nationals. 2014 was a disaster, and in Game 5 last year against the Dodgers, two times he came up with a runner on third and less than two outs and struck out both times.
He did have the biggest postseason hit in team history.
2012, that was Bigley.
Forced a Game 5, which they then led 6-0 and lost ultimately. He had 13 at-bats in his rehab, three hits. Not like he was lighting the world on fire by any means, but he looked a little bit more prepared and ready for the big leagues than Trey Turner, which is why he is reportedly, according to Chelsea Janes, getting recalled, and he will be back in the major leagues today as they'll get him back into the lineup. I told you earlier, McGregor-Mayweather really good. There's some scuttlebutt today that they're going to fight again or that they should fight again. First of all, I don't think that's going to happen. For what it's worth, after the fight, Danny, and I don't know if you've tracked even enough to know this.
Not even at all.
Floyd Mayweather, right after the fight, said it was his last bout.
Oh.
That he's never going to fight again, so he will retire and stop now at 50-0. And I believe that that's true. Look, would I get the fight if they fought a second time? Absolutely, because it was that entertaining, it was that good. And I think it would only be more competitive the next time, because one of the advantages McGregor has other than his size is Floyd's age. You know, he hadn't fought in a couple of years, and he's 40 years old. It was very clear that being 29 compared to 40 is a big benefit.
It's going to help you,
to
yeah.
Conor McGregor. So if they fought again at 41 or 42, it would only be a more competitive fight, in my opinion. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Mayweather steps away, and he's done. He had this one last grab at all this cash. He actually did, and I think this is why he fought the way that he said he was going to, kind of give the fans what they wanted. At least once.
That's how good he is, by the way.
At the tail end of his career. Yeah, he basically said, I felt bad about the Pacquiao fight. Well, in the Pacquiao fight, he probably felt like if he did what he did against McGregor, maybe he could have lost that fight because it was a real boxer.
Yeah.
In this fight, he knew he didn't have to worry about it.
He could toy with a guy for a few rounds.
Exactly.
And then just surgically and precisely play the game of Operation.
Are you shocked, though, the positive
yes.
reviews of how well this thing went over?
Completely. And I will admit to being wrong. I mean, obviously, I have no evidence. I didn't see it. Never will. But I am shocked. I thought you'd either have some sort of shebangus where they had to have a rematch and some sort of impropriety that was, you know, wasn't judged correctly, or, you know, Conor McGregor accidentally, like, a shin-to-shin contact or some sort of nonsense. I thought there'd be nonsense. Turns out just the only nonsense was the spectacle leading up to it that was, I thought, shameful and an embarrassment for all of us. But the fact that it was entertaining and a decent fight, if that's indeed true, again, I have no evidence of it because I didn't
yeah,
see it.
It's true. It
that's,
was.
Then that's actually really good for everybody. Seriously.
I can say this. And I mean this honestly. I have not talked to one person who saw that fight who did not thoroughly enjoy it.
What did the...
I'm sure there's people out there.
Right.
I just know that I was at the game yesterday talking to fans, media members, whoever. The night before that at my house. Not one person leaving was not happy they came over and watched that fight.
What did... Not that you don't know anything, but like for... I would say we're closer to novice fans of
yeah,
combat
of course.
Sports, you know, compared to some others. What were experts saying? Do you know what I mean? Like people that like
yes.
really know
so
the loops of the world.
So that's actually a good question.
You know?
I think the experts largely were impressed by Conor McGregor's mm-hmm. boxing ability. Now, they also admitted, Paulie Maggiano and some of those guys on the broadcast, that him being a sustainably excellent boxer and like having a chance to go win a belt or something is probably not correct. He's starting too late in the game. Like, there's too many
sure.
raw tendencies that don't work. He also got away with a little more than I think a normal boxer would have in this regard. Floyd kept doing this thing where he would kind of turn his back to McGregor, and McGregor would hit him on the back of the head. Like, I would say he did it 6 or 7 times over the course of the fight.
Oh, man.
You're not allowed to do that.
But it's also if Floyd's turning away.
Exactly.
Okay.
And to the judge's credit, he did not take a point away from McGregor at any point where I thought at some point that was going to happen. He basically just kept saying, Conor, you can't do that. Floyd, stop turning your back. But he would also, like, jump behind him and kind of almost wrap him up from behind like he was going to form tackle him. And start swinging from the side, which you'll never in a million years see in boxing. So in other words, imagine Floyd's back to Conor's chest.
They're in a prom pose for a second?
Exactly. And McGregor's like right arm's wrapped around him, and his left arm is swinging toward like the ear and the temple of Mayweather, who's facing away from him.
Yeah, you never see that.
And that happened 4 or 5 times, and I've never seen that in boxing. But again, I think that was kind of like his inability to rely upon the muscle memory of having done it for years and years. But it really was a good fight, and I'm so glad that I got it. And I don't know anyone that doesn't feel that way.
That's cool. I made fun of it a lot. And
me too, though. I mean, and I was happy about it, obviously. But I made fun of the fact that I bought it because I thought it was going to stink.
Yeah.
I have bought wrestling pay-per-views before to have friends over for, like, the Royal Rumble. I have bought big fights like Pacquiao and Mayweather. I've never at the end of buying any UFC fight, Brock Lesnar or whatever, thought more confidently, I'm glad that I spent that money. That's how cool it was to me.
So because what I ultimately wanted was people to be embarrassed and to feel that this was a huge regret and they
right.
should never do this sort of stuff again. So that's not going to happen because it sounded like it was a legit thing and the whole, you know, it wasn't a clever sideshow or a ruse or some sort of like, you know, manipulated non-thing that Mayweather was just toying with a guy and then ultimately it was, okay, now they're their little guy. You can't really hang with a pro boxer. So I guess ultimately I think it's a big, big, big win for MMA. I really do. Because I think boxing had limited upside for what it could accomplish.
Right.
Of course, one of the great fighters all the time should beat a non-professional
yes.
boxer every time, no
and
matter
because
what.
Because he TKO'd him, boxing's in the win column in some capacity as well.
Right.
But I think you're right. For MMA, it was a way bigger, more beneficial night than for boxing. Because your star, in his domain, held his own. And until he got tired, which was all part of Floyd's plan, obviously. So you
right.
can't take that away from Mayweather.
Of course.
But until McGregor wore out and got exhausted, not only was McGregor the aggressor, he was winning the fight. He was up 3 rounds to nothing, and they were 4-4 through 8 before the 9th happened, and it was just, at that point, McGregor was...
It was obvious.
I mean, he was you or me. He didn't have his hands up. He was just, at some point, he was going to go to the carpet. Let's do this. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Kirk Cousins mentioned the name of a band, a one-word band title, during his call-in today. What was the name of that band? If you're the 10th caller, you know the answer. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Nats take on the Marlins August 29th at Nats Park. The first 25,000 people in the stadium get a limited edition starting lineup Bryce Harper action figure. Tickets are on sale now through the Nationals box office. You can win your way in all week with 106.7 The Fan. Get the details now at thefandc.com/contest. Chad Dukes versus the World is next. If you miss Kirk Cousins or Dave Jagler, go to grantanddanny.com/audio.
Here's a hint. Apollo blank. For GP, for Brendan, and Thom, I'm Danny. CDVTW's up next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.